Amen. It sure is good to see each of you this morning, and just want to say again a special thank you to all that were able to come out yesterday. Had a really good time. Got things going, started, and went through our training there, and got started with volunteering with Samaritan's Purse, and that was a very good experience. I'm thankful that we got to do that, and asked if I was a little sore, and yeah, just a little bit. We got to do quite a bit of stuff, move trees around, and a lot of different things inside a home. And I did want to mention this morning, to ask the church to pray for Greg and for Marion, as the couple of two different people that we were able to help yesterday a little bit. And it's something, it's always good to pray, but if somebody has a specific need, it's good to go ahead and take care of that. It's not always just the spiritual side, it's the physical side of need also. But let's remember them this morning. And again, church, I'm just glad that you're here. I prayed yesterday, praying this week and this morning, that the Lord would allow everybody to be here that was supposed to be here. And that's my hope and my prayer this morning, because He knows when He places a message upon the preacher's heart, He knows who's supposed to hear it. And my prayer is that you are here this morning because you're supposed to hear it. That's my belief and my prayer. There's been times in my life I've studied with maybe a person's face on my heart that week, and that person not show up and say, well, Lord, I can't preach that this morning. But that's just not how it is. That's not how it's supposed to be. But if you'd like to, let's be turning to Luke chapter number 18. I want to go back there this week. Luke chapter 18, and this morning we'll be looking at verses 9 through 14. And as you find your places there this morning, I did want to make mention that we're going to take up a love offering on December 1st, Sunday, December 1st, and it's for Brother Tommy's sister, Brenda Cornell. They lost everything in the flood, and used to be members here at the church, what have you. So we want to be a blessing and a help to them, and so we want to take up a love offering for them on Sunday morning, December 1st. We'll announce it again. Just want to make mention of that this morning. Amen. Looking at it last week, if you remember, we were talking a little bit about prayer, the importance of prayer, and kind of how the widow that she was dealing with, this corrupt judge who was not really wanting to take care of her, listened to her because he had better things to do and she didn't have anything to offer him. So he just kind of wanted to overlook her, but he's afraid of doing that because she just kept wearying him and kept coming around. And we see how that the Lord is not that way. The Lord is not like the unjust judge, because He listens to us. He wants us to bring our petitions to Him. Been thinking a lot about prayer here the last little bit, and I guess it's just kind of how the way the Lord has laid it on my heart. Sometimes it feels like when things just can't come together, I start looking to see, why are things not coming together like I kind of hoped they would or thought they would? Why? You know, a lot of times in life we have maybe a situation that absolutely grabs our attention, but it's kind of a short-lived thing, and you kind of get over it quicker. But this has kind of been a situation, I think, for so many, that's been a longer situation. I think it's kind of caused people to kind of look at things a little bit longer maybe than usual. And in looking at this, it's caused me to look at my prayer life maybe in a little bit different light. And I think it's important we look at it together. I started studying, looking at different places, and when I went back and I found these verses here, it just landed in my heart. And I'll tell you this, I had more confirmation on this message this morning than I had last Sunday morning. And I said, thank you, Lord, for that. But what got me was that this is exactly where we left off last Sunday morning, and that was not my intent. It wasn't my plan to do it that way. I say it's one of this. I guess maybe you've heard it like this. That's a God thing, and that's what I believe about this morning. And again, it's talking about prayer. And so we'll read this. We'll get into it, and we'll go on this morning. But let's trust. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I really pray and ask that you pay attention this morning and consider what these verses are saying. With the help of the Lord, I just pray that He brings this message out. I know I can't do it like He can, but I'm trusting Him this morning. And this morning, I want to preach for a few minutes on the topic of two men praying. Two men praying is the topic. We see here in verse number 9, and it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. That's not good already. That they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much of his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Lord, the privilege to be here, just surrounded by your word, Lord, surrounded by your people. God, we just thank you so much for all who were able to be here today. God, we're trusting that person that you intend to hear this message will hear it this morning, whether it be here, online, God, it's all yours. And Lord, we're just asking for your will this morning. God, I ask that you guide my heart and my mind, Lord. Help me, God, to preach this message the way you'd have me to, Lord, just that it would reach those hearts that need to hear it, God, and help them to understand it, Lord. Those that maybe from week to week have raised their hand and acknowledging that they know that they're lost, God, and that they're seeking, Lord, that you would save them. God, I just pray that today would be their day. God, those that are experiencing different things in life, trying to figure things out, Lord, maybe why prayers have not been answered maybe as fast as they would like for them to be, or maybe even in the way they would like for them to be. God, just help us, Lord, to grow and to gain from your word what you would have us to do. Lord, I know you get our attention for reasons, and God, that you want us to grow and understand more about you. God, as these events and things happen, it should cause us to look to you to see what the answer is. And God, I just pray you help us this morning. Lord, I pray you get the devil out of the way. Lord, that nothing would hinder this service, God. We just want your will to be done in every way. Lord, keep a hedge around our church. Keep us safe. Our young families, God, we thank you so much for them and our Sunday school class and just all that's going on in the church. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. Protect us, God. Help us, Lord. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see some very interesting things as it starts out here, and the way the parable starts out, the way the Lord is talking here. Again, we leave off last week talking about how you had an unjust judge and had a widow, someone in need of help, and she just stayed persistent with it. She stayed right with him, and she didn't let her need get her discouraged. She just stayed in. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to pray until I get an answer. And I tell you, it's important that we do that. It's easy to get discouraged in life, and you see things and maybe not happen the way you want them to happen and say, well, I'm just going to give up and quit praying. That's not what the Lord is trying to do. I think sometimes the Lord wants to commune with us so much that the only way that we will commune with Him is if He gets our attention and He kind of leaves us in that state. I believe that. He doesn't want us to ignore Him or stay away from Him. He wants us to be drawn to Him. And I think these situations sometimes can do just that. But we see a different parable this morning in a different light. You see two different men here that's being discussed. You have two different personalities. And you see two different ways in a prayer that's given here. And it's sad when you see it in verse number 9 that said, he spake this parable unto certain. He's talking to a certain group of people. A certain group which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He's talking to those who put them trust in their self. Now, I tell you, there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people who think maybe that I've gained a certain amount of wealth or gained a certain amount of provision, that I have what I need and I don't need to ask help from anybody else. Some people are like that. You can call it prideful, or you can call it being resourceful, and that they've prepared things to a certain extent that they feel like they've got all they need to carry them through life. You say, on the outside of that, that looks really, really good maybe. But I can tell you here this morning, nobody can trust in and of themselves. Nobody can. I can tell you why. I can't promise you what God can promise you. I can't promise you tomorrow. I can't promise you another second. I can't promise you those things. I don't hold the things that God has. I don't have that. I don't have that power, that ability. You don't either. Your best intention cannot get you through. It's the promises of God that we hold on to. And again, you look at it, they were people who were trusting in and of themselves, and more importantly, they were trusting in the works that they thought that they had done in and of themselves. They thought that was enough. They looked at the law and they picked out a few of those laws that they had found, because no man has ever completely followed the law. The Bible teaches us that. You can see that all through the book of Romans. Nobody has ever upheld the law. If you've ever broke one of those laws, you're guilty of all. Breaking all the laws is what the Bible teaches us. And that's just how it's laid out. But I think some of these men, some of these Pharisees would take a few and say, I haven't done this. I'm not as bad as this. So therefore, I'm in a good place. I'm doing well. And you see here that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They were self-proclaimed righteous. They were self-proclaimed good. And then also it says they despised others. They looked down on other people. They used that as a comparison when they were praying. Isn't that weird? Isn't that something kind of weird to think about? And I don't think anybody really just admit and say, yeah, I pray like that. You say, I don't pray like that. Might enlighten you just a little bit on some of these things, how things like that can creep in an unpredictable way. But we see the first person here. The two people that go to pray went up to the temple to pray. So they're in the temple. They're in a public place to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Not a Republican, it says publican. So I'll give you the definition of both of these right here. It says, the Pharisee is one of a sect among Jews whose religion consisted in a strict observance of the rites and ceremonies of the traditions of the elders. You see, this is what they're holding on to. You want to know what a Pharisee believes? I'm telling you what a Pharisee believes. You're not seeing the Word of God mentioned here. You're seeing the rites, the ceremonies, and traditions of the elders, and whose pretend holiness led them to separate themselves as a sect, considering themselves as more righteous than other Jews. That's the definition, if you look it up in the Noah Webster 1828, that their pretend holiness led them to separate themselves. They thought, they tried to make of themselves a holier group of people, and it was pretend. I mean, it actually says that in the definition. You know, if we look at ourselves thinking that, well, maybe just because we go to church, or maybe because we're saved, that makes us a better person than somebody else, we're wrong. We're all sinful flesh. All sinful flesh, every one of us. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you're still in sinful flesh, but you know where you're going, and praise God for it. Not any better, but better off. Not any better, but better off. Isn't that something to think about? That's humbling to me. It's kind of humbling when you look at it that way. But you also, the publican, I tell you, that's a collector of a toll or a tribute. That's a tax administrator is what that is. That's bad, ain't it? Who wants to do that kind of job? You read about it in the Bible and how it's said here, and that's what he's looking at here. That's the two that you're talking about. You have one self-proclaimed righteous, and you have another one who takes people's money for a living. Boy, that's completely opposite, isn't it? Who would you vote for? Who would you run for? Or who would you pull for? Let me put it that way. Who would you pull for in this matter? The Lord is getting ready to tell us who got to go home righteous. Who got to go home justified. And that's very important to see. But we're going to see these two prayers starting at verse number 11. You're going to see how the Pharisee started out his prayer. He stood and he prayed thus with himself. Isn't that something? Just himself. If you really want to get down to business with God, you've got to lay out everything. You can't hold anything back. But he prayed thus with himself. I thought that was very interesting. He's praying, I believe. I don't know if he's audibly saying it. I believe he was. That was kind of the tradition of that day, that they would stand and sometimes that they would hold their hands up and they'd pray. They'd pray audibly and people could hear what they could say. I have the mind to believe that other people could hear, because he starts calling out people. He called out at least one person in particular. It says right here, the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. He started praying. He started out with I. 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 You see all these things. He started talking about all the things that he's done. He's talking about why he is worthy. Have you ever prayed that way? Have you ever prayed that way? Now think about it. Have you ever prayed that way? You say probably no. You'd probably say, no, I wouldn't do that. And even if you had, you might not admit it. But have you ever been in a situation where you thought that maybe you were doing things right? That you were trying to do things right and you're wanting things to be a certain way, and then all of a sudden you see kind of disastrous things happen, and if you're not careful, you know how you can find yourself praying? You go to the Lord in prayer and you can start saying, Lord, I try to live a good life. Lord, I've tried to do all these things. Lord, I tithe. Lord, I go to church, and yet why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? You know what you're doing? You're trying to justify to God your worthiness that something bad wouldn't happen to you. That's all you're doing. That's all I'm doing. If we're praying that way, when we throw our hands up there and say, why, God, why me? Am I not more important than this? Am I not one of yours? Why did this happen to me? Why did it not happen to somebody down the street, a non-believer, somebody down the street, Lord, that don't even claim you? Would you ever think like that? You might say, no, I don't think like that. Never prayed like that. Have you ever asked God why? That's praying like that. Lord, why me? Why me, Lord? But you see the self-righteousness here. A person holding on to the law, believing that that gave them justification. That's exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to plead a case to God while they were worthy to go to heaven. This is what he was saying. His prayer. The Bible says it's to himself, but he was saying this, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, as extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He called a person out. Isn't that something? I don't think a lot of people would see it that way or maybe try to do that, but you know, in people's minds, our mind's a bad place to be a lot of the time. The mind will think things that you won't say. The mind will go there and say, well, Lord, I'm this, but they're like this. And if you're not careful, you'll start saying why somebody's not worthy of an answered prayer, but you're worthy. It's called exalting ourselves. It's called being self-righteous. You see, that's what he was talking about here. And he went on to say all the things that he done. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was just trying to say why he was worthy of heaven. Anybody here think you're worthy of heaven? Anybody? Anybody? Can you tell me one thing you've done that makes you worthy of heaven? Anybody? You see the difference that's given out here. I mean, you see all these things and they're trusting in the law and what the law says, and that's what he was trying to boast of. I've done all these things. And I'm thankful, Lord, I'm not like these old sinful tax collectors out here, Lord, that do bad things. He's trying to put the attention on the bad things in somebody's life. It's easy to do that. I see people do it all the time. They see somebody on the street, maybe don't look like them, not dressed like them, and it's easy to kind of get puffed up. You don't know what's in somebody else's heart. You don't know that. We don't know the situation that other people are going through sometimes in their life. We don't know that. Maybe this person here, I'll give you an idea who I think this person is. You know who I think this publican is? Go to John chapter number 3 and read about Nicodemus. Read about him. That'd be a good place to start. You know, it's not, I think we even said this yesterday, maybe a time or two, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But they'd have these long prayers and they'd say all these words, all these just vain, self-righteous words. And I heard something this week that I thought was very good. I've heard some people preach some pray some amazing prayers, but you know, I've seen some people too get up to pray and they'll do this and they'll start reading one off. I'm not one to read off a prayer. I'll tell you that. It needs to come from right here. Has to come from your heart. If you're here this morning and you're lost, it has to come from your heart. I heard this week. It's not the length of your prayer, it's the depth of your prayer. Meditate on that. Think about that. There's some times in our lives we're faced with things. We don't have words. We don't have long things to say, eloquent words to say. But it's sometimes just the depth of what you're experiencing. The Lord can understand that. He's in all points tempted as we are. He knows how our frame is built up. He knows these things. It's not the length, it's the depth. Now we see a difference here. You see how the first prayer went, and I don't think it even hit the ceiling. I'll be honest with you. He prayed within himself. I don't think it got above right here. I don't think it got above right here. It's in and of himself. But you see a difference here. I want you to see the simplicity of this prayer. If you're here this morning and you're lost, this is the only prayer you have. It is so simple. You don't have to think a big word. You don't. I'll go ahead and tell you. If you're trying to justify yourself to God why you're good enough, you'll never do that. The only thing that God accepts is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing He accepts. There's nothing we can do. Yeah, after you're saved, you might do some things. That's not justification. That's works of the Spirit. That's how you're supposed to conduct yourself afterwards, after you've accepted Christ. But there's only one prayer. If you're here this morning and you're trying to figure out, if you're understanding that you're lost and you're trying to figure out what to do, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do as simply as I can tell you what to do. You run to Christ. This is what it said here. And the publican standing afar off would not so much have lifted up his eyes unto heaven. You know, he wouldn't look up. I believe the Pharisee was here where all could hear. He could uplift himself and try to justify himself to each other, to people. And I tell you, that happens so much every day. People try to justify themselves to everybody else. Let me tell you this respectfully. Everybody else don't matter. When you're talking about the matter of salvation, that's straight between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't matter what you convince people of or confuse people of. It don't matter a bit. It's what you, the business that you do with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this publican was doing. It said he and the publican standing afar off would not lift so much up his eyes up into heaven. He wouldn't even looked up. You know why? He was ashamed. He had nothing to boast of. He had nothing to hang his hat on. He's like, I have nothing. I have nothing. He wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes. He kept his head down toward the ground. He wouldn't even look up. It was that important to him. You don't see humility like that much anymore. Maybe in times of devastation, but sometimes really not just a matter of everyday life. That humility, a lot of times you don't see it like that. Something happened in this man's life. He saw the need. He actually saw the need of salvation. And he knew he had nothing to offer in and of himself. And he would not so much even lift up in his eyes to heaven. But you know what it said he done? This is what he did. He smote his breast. He beat his chest. This is what he did. He knew that he needed help that he could not offer himself. When's the last time you were there? You know, I wasn't smoting my breast, but my chest was bouncing up and down so fast I didn't even have to the night that I accepted the Lord. But he's saying here, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. That was the only prayer that he had. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. I was thinking this week, I don't know how many times I've said it. After reading this, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's the prayer that we need to be praying in this country right now. We get busted up in things. We think, boy, my candidate won. We're home free now. My candidate hadn't got here yet. Jesus is coming back. That's the prize. You got to see that. That's our only hope. You see here, if we get all excited about politics, you're leaving out the one true King, Jesus Christ. That's my help. That's your help. You got to see that. You have to know. Let's don't get sleepy this morning. Let's just praise Him a little bit. If you're saved, praise Him a little bit. If you're lost, let's accept Him this morning. We get excited. Stock market's going up. Economy's going to get better. We're going to have lower interest rates. That don't mean nothing if Jesus comes back tonight. Well, if Jesus comes back before this election is finalized, before January 1, what are we going to do? The lost will go to hell. The saved will go to heaven. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of salvation. You see here, when it come down to it, it didn't matter all these things that this fella had to boast. That didn't mean anything. What meant everything was somebody willing to say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. That's all that mattered. It's all that mattered. You see here, we're talking about salvation, but we're talking about in the matter of prayer, our prayer life. We need to have humility in our prayer life, not thinking that we deserve anything. We don't. We're saved sinners. You see here, everything that we get is because of God's mercy and because of His grace. Every single bit of it. Sunday school, we started talking a little bit about, been talking about marriage, talked about love this morning. You know, love is a choice. Aren't you glad that the Lord chose to love you? Amen. He's asking you this morning to choose to love Him. That's what this publican, that's what he came to be. That's what he came to understand and realize. It said, and the publican standing afar off, he was too ashamed to be around the group of people. He would not lift up so much as eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And look what the answer is. This is Jesus talking here, and he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Wouldn't you rather be justified this morning? That means that's how you get into heaven, justified, just as if I had not sinned. That's what he was talking about. This man here who didn't boast in anything but Jesus Christ, he's the one that went home justified. That's how you can go home justified this morning. Putting your faith, putting your trust in Him, not trying to think, not trying to convince man or trying to convince God that you're good enough of anything, deserving of anything, but just saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You can go home justified if you have that in your heart. You pray that prayer, you mean that with your heart, you can go home justified this morning. It says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. How many times have we done that? Not even meaning to, but how many times have we done that? See things happen, you go through things in life, and you just say, my goodness, you know what? I try to do these things. Why are these things happening this way? That's, if you're not careful, you'll start exalting yourself. You exalt yourself enough, you'll start getting mad at God and hold bitterness in your heart against God if you're not careful. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here, lost or saved, we're not worthy of anything. We're not deserving of anything. But aren't you glad that the Lord chose to love us anyway? He chose to help us anyway. He just asked us to trust Him by faith, by faith. Is what the Bible says, by faith through grace. That's what He's asking. It's not some hard thing that you have to do. He's just saying, trust me. If you'll just trust me, that's what this publican did here. He trusted in the Lord. And he abased himself. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How important it is to see some humility in this day and time. So often we kind of get puffed up whatever way. We won, we lost, however it is. We get upset about things that don't even matter a lot of the time. Most important thing this morning is where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. If you go back, and I'm not going to go there, you go back to John 3, you look at John 3:16, you look at what precedes that in the message that God gives there, and you see Nicodemus' testimony and what happened there. He went to the Lord by night. He didn't want people to see him. He was ashamed for what he had done, but he wanted to get to Christ. And he did. And God forgave him. Jesus forgave him. Jesus saved him. See, that's the difference. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come. I want you to know it's not the length of the sermon, it's the depth. I believe with all my heart, I tell you, church, I've seen faces this week. I've been trying to pray for each one.